Now, the Federal Reserve today announced the biggest interest rate hike since 1994. It's part of a response to ongoing higher than usual inflation levels, which helped cause a big drop in the stock market on Monday. Monday's drop pushed the S&P 500 into a bear market, meaning it's 20% or more lower than the most recent high. We're talking now about the state of the stock market, inflation, and the Fed's interest rate hike, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the movements of the stock market recently? Do you think about what the stock market is doing in general? Does it have an impact on you? And the Federal Reserve rate hike, do you think it's a good move? How is inflation affecting you in your day-to-day life? Are you having to change what you do because of it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Kevin Barr is chief analyst and professor with the Center for Business and Economic Insight at the UW-Stevens Point School of Business and Economics. Kevin, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, thank you very much. Nice to be back.
Let's start with his newest news, this Federal Reserve interest rate hike. I think people knew they were going to do something. What does this mean, the hike that they ended up doing, 0.75 point?
Okay, so I think there's a couple of things behind this. Certainly, it is a fairly large increase, the 75 basis point increase. I think the financial markets were hoping that the Fed would take a sort of relatively large increase as opposed to a smaller increase. And I think you can see that by looking at the financial market response today, which is pretty much a strong increase in stock prices, pretty much across the board of about 2%. But all that being said, I think you also have to look at the context. Although this was a relatively historical large one-time increase, that is the 75 basis points, that still only puts the Fed funds rate, their target short-term rate, at between 1.5 and 1.75. So it's basically going to bring that rate back to where it was in 2019. So when we've had this historically low level of interest rates, really unrealistically low interest rates. So the Fed is going to bring the interest rates probably back up to a targeted rate of about, they're projecting of about 3.4% by the end of this year, 3.8% by the end of next year. So they're going to bring those rates back to where they were historically back in the 1990s and after the turn of the century, pretty much, before you had these sort of traumatic economic events of COVID-19, and then before that, the financial crisis.
And the Fed wants to bring up the interest rates of inflation. I've asked you this before. Connect the dots. Why does moving this one lever theoretically lead to lower inflation?
Okay, so I think one of the things that's really kind of different right now, you've got, I think, three levers to this inflation. And the Fed can pretty much control one of the three. So the Federal Reserve tries to increase interest rates to lower consumer demand. We've had a very strong economy, a very hot job market. Employment levels have pretty much returned to where they were before the pandemic. The problem is demand's come back, but supply hasn't come back. The Federal Reserve really can't control supply chains. And the other whammy with this is basically energy prices. The Federal Reserve cannot control commodity prices. So what they're trying to do what they can to temper the consumer demand side of the cause of the of inflation. But you got other, you have another two big factors out there: the supply chain and energy prices that the Federal Reserve really can't do anything about.
Finally, we'll get to the thing that we originally called you about, the big market drop on Monday. News keeps happening. The market drop on Monday, that came after the market had gone down. There's this big drop on Monday. Things seem to have smoothed out a little bit. What is going on in the stock market there?
Okay, anytime there's a lot of uncertainty, and right now you have a lot of uncertainty in the stock market, you're going to get a lot of swings, and you might even call it overreaction. I mean, yesterday you had the big drop. Today you have kind of a big comeback. But you've got uncertainty over inflation. You have uncertainty over energy prices. You have some uncertainty over supply chain issues. I think yesterday you also had some uncertainty over interest rates. I mean, that's kind of gone away a little bit, at least short term, based on what the Federal Reserve did today. So anytime you have a lot of uncertainty, typically it's not a good thing for the market, and you'll see prices go down. And when some of that uncertainty goes away, like it did today, and the market viewed what the Federal Reserve did, I think largely favorably, and that's why stock prices pretty much went up.
I like to, when I look at things like this, I like to pull back the time scale some. And in January, at the beginning of this year, we had a record high in the Dow. It, you know, the drop at the beginning of the pandemic, steady climb, record all-time high, 36,000 something at the beginning of the year. Is the story that, oh no, the stock market's plummeting, or is it that was unrealistically high back then, given what's going on in the world?
I think you bring up two very good points. I think the stock market was kind of unrealistically high, and I'll talk about that maybe a little bit more in detail coming up here. But I think in addition to the stock market being unrealistically high, if you go back and you went to January, you've got Putin invading the Ukraine, oil prices, the per barrel price of oil basically went from $70 in December to near $120 recently. You've had gas prices go up as oil prices have gone up. Gas prices are up about $1.50 this year. I don't think that was really anticipated back in December that you're going to have that kind of a swing in energy prices. And I think for the most part, I think many companies have been surprised by the prolonged supply chain disruptions that they faced. In addition to that, anytime COVID kind of pops up, be it in the United States or in other countries like China, if there's a lockdown in China, that affects supply chains, that affects imports. And it's not only the finished products that would come into the United States, but it's basically inputs that are needed to make other products here in the United States. So I think it's a combination of factors.
Kevin Barr is with us, chief analyst and professor with the Center for Business and Economic Insight at UW-Stevens Point's School of Business and Economics. He's talking to us about Monday's market drop, the interest rate increase from earlier today, and inflation, what it all means for the economy as a whole. You can join in at 800-642-1234. A lot of moving parts here. Do you have thoughts, maybe solutions that you'd like to make the case for some of these problems? Do you have questions about what the heck is going on? And do you personally feel a hit when the stock market drops to your retirement plans, say? Are you feeling the impact of inflation? Is it changing the way you plan, purchase, travel? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with UW-Stevens Point economics professor Kevin Barr, looking at Monday's stock market drop, the Federal Reserve rate increase today, what it all means for the economy and for you. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Chris is with us in Port Wing. Chris, hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Chris?
Well, thanks for this important discussion. You know, as a person who's been in investing for retirement for over 20 years in the market, we've been watching what's going on and expecting a market correction, a significant correction, because it's been very, very high. I've been waiting for a correction for 4.5 years. Even if none of these other factors weighed in, I would expect the market to go down significantly. The other thing is we've got to get used to high gas prices. We have to figure out how to price fossil fuels out of the market, and we have to do it without harming poor people. Right now, the market just comes down like a ton of bricks on anybody who doesn't make $50,000 a year or more, and we can figure out how to do this. We need to raise taxes on gas and spend those taxes on compensating people who don't make enough money to afford it, and we need to wean ourselves off these fossil fuels in a way that enhances the economy rather than detracts from it.
Chris, thanks for the call. A couple of big points there, Kevin, and actually he brought up something that I put a pin in earlier, the idea that, as Chris says, artificially high markets, he's been waiting for a correction. You said you might have more to say about that.
I think you brought up two excellent points. Mm-hmm. First of all, as far as the market, the S&P 500, this is kind of your benchmark for large company stocks. long run average over the last 75 years, the S&P is up typically about 10 and 11% a year. In 2019, it was up nearly 29%, 2020, 16%, 2021, 27%. Those numbers aren't sustainable. The NASDAQ, the technology index, that was just nuts. That was up 35% in 2019, 43% in 2020, 21% in 2021. That's not sustainable. If you look at the U.S. financial markets compared to the world financial markets, the U.S. financial markets outperformed, that is the U.S. equity markets outperformed global markets, and pretty much it wasn't close no matter who you compare us to. Whether you're looking at the Chinese stock market, European stock market, doesn't matter. The U.S. market clearly outperformed. Another great point that he brought up in terms of the gas prices, this might kind of surprise some people, but the gas price in the United States, I've got some data for the end of May, gas prices for the United States at the end of May were actually lower than the global average. Some of the other gas prices around the world, at the end of May, the U.S. average gas price was $4.79. If you look at some of the other countries, Australia was $5.50, China was $5.50, $6.50 in Canada. Over in Europe, pick your country, it's between $8 and $10 a gallon. So the places where it's where it was cheaper is pretty much where you would expect it to be cheaper, Saudi Arabia and Russia, major producers and exporters of oil. So I think those are two great points that the caller brought up.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Melanie next in Middleton. Melanie, hello.
Hello there.
What did you want to bring up, Melanie?
Sure. I think that one thing that's being overlooked is wages. Wages are not keeping up throughout the economy, generally speaking, to inflation. And there's a lot of profiteering I've been reading by major corporations. They're increasing their prices massively, but it's profiteering. It's not necessarily the supply chain or shortages or anything like that. It's just plain old profiteering.
Melanie, thanks for the call. Two big points there. I want to make sure Kevin has time to get to those. Thanks for calling in, Melanie. First of all, wages, we hear about the tight labor market. For some people, Kevin, driving wages up. Melanie worried not fast enough to keep up with costs.
Well, that's definitely true. Wages are up, but real wages, that is after you back out the cost of inflation, for most people, real wages have not kept up. So yes, that is an issue. And I think that's, you know, the Federal Reserve, part of what their actions are trying to do today is to try to bring inflation more in line with wage increases. And that has not been happening recently. Melanie is absolutely right.
And then Melanie's saying, well, yeah, maybe inflation, maybe supply chain. She's also worried that companies are taking advantage of our expectation of high prices to give us high prices.
Yeah, there's a number of things that kind of play into it. I mean, last year you basically had record corporate profits, and you had record corporate profits no matter how you measure it, whether you're looking at absolute dollars or whether you're looking at profit margins. In addition to that, as we've kind of talked about gas prices, stock prices typically reflect expectations of future profitability for corporations. And if you look at the S&P 500, that's pretty much down about 20%, not taking into account what happened today, but it's down roughly about 20%. If you look at oil company stocks have absolutely pretty much exploded. Marathon, Valero, Phillips, Exxon Mobil are up 50% year to date, and that's with the overall market being down 20%. So despite the fact, you know, gas prices are high, and Americans are, you know, a lot of Americans are struggling just going to the pump. There's no doubt profits have been quite good for corporations.
Melanie, thanks for that call. Mike joins us next in Spring Green. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Yeah, financial advisors tell us that we should have a balanced portfolio of stocks and bonds. I guess under the assumption that when stocks go down, bonds go up. And they also advise us as we get older that we should be moving out of equities and into bonds. Are we seeing that in this current situation?
Mike, thanks. Kevin, do we know what bonds are doing as stocks have been dipping?
Okay, well, you've got to be a little bit careful when you're just looking at at bonds, because when interest rates go up, bond prices will go down. So it's sort of like when interest rates go up, you can get nicked on your portfolio, both through stocks and your bond holdings. This is really kind of a pretty complex subject. There's more interest rate sensitivity on long-term bonds than what there is on short-term bonds. There are inflation-protected bonds. There's also inflation-protected savings bonds. If you bought an I-bond right now, it's paying about 9.6%. That is an I-savings bond. So there are sort of ways that you can do this. But just strictly speaking, if you look at corporate bond pricing and the equity markets, when interest rates go up, you can kind of get nicked on both.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mike. Kevin, big picture. You mentioned gas prices up globally. Looking at inflation by country, they're up in most, inflation's up in most of the world. How much control do we have in the United States about these things, which at least in part are global issues?
That is a great question, Rob. And I think that's one thing that's not really talked about enough. And that is, okay, yes, the Federal Reserve can control consumer demand in the United States, but gas prices are high around the world. Inflation is pretty much high around the world. Inflation varies. Pick your European country. It varies between about 6 and 20%. Canada's got record high or 30-year high in inflation. They're up around 7%. Inflation is high in Australia. So you've got global factors that have impacted prices and inflation, and those global factors are pretty much its energy prices and its supply chain issues. And that's the type of thing I think you have limited control over. I think right now, quite frankly, oil companies are in a pretty good position, really almost politically, to try to get what they would like to get. I mean, right now, gas prices are extremely high. They can make a lot of profit. And if there's any type of encouragement to try to get oil companies to drill more, they're kind of in a political position to try to get as attractive position as they can to drill more, despite the potential pushback on using more fossil fuels down the road. I mean, what you have here is basically a problem that needs to be solved long term, but you need to do something short term to deal with the problem you got.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thank you very much, Rob. Been a pleasure. Thanks, callers.
Sure. That's Kevin Barr, Chief Analyst, Business Area Coordinator, and Professor with the Center for Business and Economic Insight at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point's School of Business and Economics. He talked to us today about the Federal Reserve hiking the interest rates and Monday's stock market drop.